Okay, so firstly, I want to go back to God before we go any further. And I want to quote this quote from Teresa of Avila. It says this: let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things pass away. God never changes. He who has God has everything. He who has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. So as we look at this talk today, we always got to make reference back to God. Anything we do, even religious observers, we have to know the reason for what we're doing. It's good to take stock. Why am I doing this? Why am I going to the meeting? Why am I praying? Could it become a rote and we could lose sight of God? So it's the same with preaching. A preacher could lose sight of God completely, even though he's preaching about God. It's important that we always go back to God and remember that it's Him we serve and it's Him we worship and it's Him we follow. So this morning's talk is based on Pentecost. It's called The Descent of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do chapter 2 of Acts, verses 1 to 11. We're going to go through that slowly. I had to cut it very short at the last meeting. Okay, let's go. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Okay, they weren't in different places and they weren't alone. They took a survey in the United States and most Christians believe that they can have Christianity alone. That's a total falsity. It's not true. Because where you don't have worship and where you don't have fellowship, where you don't have people assembled together, you cannot have true church or true Christianity. Notice what the scriptures say. They were in one place, not 10 places, one place with one accord. They had been there for 10 days from Ascension Thursday to Pentecost. 10 days. You know, it's a bit like an analogy. It's an analogy, okay? Because we need to stay, it's an analogy. Jesus had stories that didn't seem to be very spiritual, but he was taking from the everyday things of life. If you look at a football match without spectators, and then a football match with spectators, now, we may not agree with everything spectators do, but it's dead without people. When people assemble together for a common cause, even if it's an evil cause or a neutral, I'm not saying football's evil, it's neutral. it can be bad and it can be good. It's what we make of it. Then there's a dynamic that happens. But when we have the Holy Spirit, as Christians, we have the fellowship in the Holy Spirit. So we're carrying God in us as Christians. So they were in one place with one accord. So it was amazing, the testimony, because, I mean, I had no one in mind. But when I said that, you heard Tanya's testimony. That's why it says don't stay away from meetings. Don't stay away from assembling with other people. Then stay away from prayer and groups because it's to our detriment. And this is what happened when they were assembled. Jesus told them to go there and wait till the Holy Spirit came on them. Now, a point here, whilst we carry God in us, Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us, this encounter that they had at Pentecost was an outward encounter. It happened from above, and I'll read on. And suddenly there came from heaven, from above down, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Like, it wasn't a wind. Something happened. It came from out, on to them and in to them. Out, on and in to them. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So it came on the whole building as well. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And then it went on to the individuals. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I'll stop here for a moment. A symbol of fire. Fire is used in the scriptures in many ways. You know, when the people were disobedient at times, there were people that were swallowed up. It talks about the fires of hell. But mostly when fire is spoken about, it's in the context of the glory of God. It's about the presence of God. Jesus himself said, John baptized with water, but I will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. It's a symbol of the presence of God. It's a symbol that God has showed up. He's actually here. We can experience him as well as knowing him by faith. There were events in the Old Covenant with Moses in the burning bush where the bush got on fire and God spoke to him through the bush. And God then passed by and Moses even had to turn his back. And the people were frightened. They didn't want to come near the place because they were afraid of the holiness of God. Because their sin wouldn't allow them. And they said to Moses, "You speak to him. We'll stay down here. We're not going to go up there. It's frightening." That's what sin does. It divides. But we are New Testament believers. We have been given the Holy Spirit here. And we, as charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever, Spirit-led or more conscious of the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And the fire is present in us. Supposed to be anyway. You know the story of the two monks in the early church? You know, some of you know it. Okay, I think a lot of you don't know it. And there was these two monks, and in the monastic movement, people started to move out of the cities, out of the culture, out of the traps of the world, if you like. And they were seeking solitude, and they were seeking to get closer to God. Sometimes it was a lot of self-effort involved. Because we always, again, remember, whatever we do, we've got to go back to God. It's either source. Am I doing this or I'm just doing these things? Anyway, there was a very young monk. He was very zealous and he really wanted to push into God. And he prayed, he fasted, read the scriptures. He was very zealous, zealous. But he wasn't getting anywhere. He wasn't making much progress. He was at a stalemate. And so he went out to find an older monk who had many years' experience in the desert. And he finally got to him and he shared with him his plight, where he was at. And he had done all these things. And the older monk just looked at him and he says, "There's one thing you lack, and that's fire. That's one thing you need is fire." Now, that's not comprehensive theology, but it's a truth. You see, he had lost sight, even in his zealousness, he truly had lost sight somewhat of God, even though he was sincere. And the older monk said, "Fire." He had lost his fire. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, within that first year, because I was on fire. Probably more on fire then than now, not to my glory or anything, but to my poorness, really. I couldn't but share the gospel with people, anywhere, football, work, anywhere. And you know, I didn't know much. But I'd experienced fire. I'm going to do a Richie. One of my grandsons said, you know, he said, why does that man shout? Now he'll say it about me. Why is granddad shouting? Where was I? I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I was on fire. Yeah, no, it was more than that. I was on fire. We all know God here, but we're not all on fire. No, we aren't. Including myself. See, that's what's lacking in it. We're all sincere, good people, doing terrific. We're even here, that's a lot to say, when over 95% of people, or 92, whatever it is, don't even go near a church on Sunday. But that, it's important that we understand this is what happened at Pentecost. Now, some people get confused about this. And now, that passage is fairly simple. You don't need a theologian to explain it to you. However, there's one aspect you might need a bit of explanation. It's the tongues factor. Because, as we go on a little bit, it says this. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished. Are not all these who were speaking us being Galileans? They were Galileans. They were from the Hick country. They didn't speak really well good Aramaic. Okay? It was country style. And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, though Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Now these were Jews who came to the festival from all these places, and the proselytes were people who were not Jewish ethnically, but converted to Judaism. They probably all spoke Aramaic, okay, but that was probably all that they had in common. But they all spoke different languages because they were part of the culture of another country as well. And so they asked the question. So tongues has a number of ways of manifesting. This is a power encounter of tongues. It was miraculous. Now, we've experienced people speaking in a tongue where someone in the congregation was present who the tongue spoke their language. Now, in the early days of the community, we had about 12 of these. Hebrew, Arabic, Ukrainian, Polish, Slovakian, Arabic, just that I can remember off the top of my head. People experienced in the congregation these things. And even a charismatic prayer meetings. There were many. I remember I was in a prayer group and there was a sister there, a nun, and she came for the first time, and a friend of ours who we still see, sang a song in tongues. This nun came later and she said, does she know Slovakian? She was from the Slovak side of Czechoslovakia of today. We said, no. She said, that woman sang the song my mother used to sing to me when I was a little girl, praising God. See, God does this. This though, was even beyond that. This was extraordinary. But that does still happen. Recently, a Pentecostal friend of mine, a pastor, he spoke in a tongue, and there was a new person there, a Romanian, and he spoke perfect Romanian. So that's a sign. That guy's going to come back. All right? All right? So that's one aspect. Another one is in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says that if there's a tongue given in a meeting, then someone should interpret. That is not praying together like we do, but you know, there's a person in our community in EMU who often speaks in a tongue, and there's an interpretation. It's not literally the language or heard, but God gives an interpretation. Now, I'm not here to give a teaching on tongues. It's actually, I could go on for a whole day giving a teaching on tongues because it's so vast. And the third one is what we experience personally. But a lot of us don't have the power encounter with it. We pray in tongues, particularly a lot of our young people. I'm saying that because there's not a lot of young people here. But if I said the last meeting, they might get a little bit offended. There's a power encounter. That's what I had when it happened to me. And the other thing then is the value of praying in tongues is that when we're in a meeting like this, we can worship God and pray in tongues together in harmony. That's a spiritual incantation. Now listen, this is careful and very important. Satanists, they do a number of things. There's sorcery, all sorts of things that they do. I'm not going to give you a talk on Satanism, don't worry. But one thing they do in order to diffuse spiritual activity or to bring harm to people, they go into incantation. Okay? And they do it together, and they pray against church leaders, all sorts of things. And if you ask Satanists, what is the most powerful thing that they do, amidst all the things that they do, including sorcery and all the other things, they will say to you, incantation. You see, a lot of us Christians are toothless or without a trunk because we really don't know what happens in the spiritual world. But we can incantate in the spirit. That brings us into a level of the supernatural with God. It puts us in his heavenly throne. It puts us, angels are released to help us. The others are released by the other crowd. We don't want them. But we want angels to take charge over us, as it says in Psalm 91. The angels are released. And so you can't fight this fight if you don't really know all that's going on. Most Christians are sitting ducks. And I'm not going to be a sitting duck for these people. It's good you're at this meeting because I can be a bit freer at this meeting. Okay, I've got to be a bit more careful on the live stream. Yeah, don't put it on YouTube. No, it's true. But see, that's why it's so important to come and pray. You know, I wouldn't miss. Julie and I, when we used to travel, and we don't travel these days much because COVID. When we go to a place, we would look, you know, if there was a prayer meeting, or we go to London and there's these single men for the Lord, and we would go to their prayer on Saturday morning because we get to pray in tongues. We get to praise God. You know, it's so important. Most people have lost it, even charismatic people. I mean, in some churches now, charismatic, but they don't even pray in tongues anymore because they want to be seeker-friendly. Well, it's not going to happen here as long as I'm here, by the grace of God. These are spiritual truths. You don't believe me, you need to seek God for yourself and do some study. God is very good. And if you don't pray in tongues, see why you don't. God's got an immense more for you, more than you can ask for or imagine. Life with God is an extraordinary life. But even as Christians, we only choose half of it most of the time. Okay, I'm going to finish. So it's important that we have incantation in the Spirit with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read you from one of my favorite preachers, just to summarize. And then I'm going to pray with you that you would become fire. Now, it's not magic. And if there's nothing in you that wants to be, then nothing much will happen, right? But if there's even a little bit in you that desires that, then there might be a little bit of impartation for it to happen in your life. And then you've got to make some decisions, taking some things away. So this is what he says. This is from Tim Keller on a talk similar on this text anyway. What I've given you is my own talk to the best of my ability. Now I'm just going to quote a little bit from him to summarize. He says, being filled means outside power. The blowing of a violent wind. They heard something like the blowing of a wind. Therefore, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to have something come from outside of you to fill you. It's not just an emotional thing from within. That's what a lot of people say, oh, just emotional. No, it's not emotional. Emotions are like anything else, it involves our whole being. But believe me, when I was seeking God, I wasn't an emotional. I was seeking God for my life. And that immediately puts on you on a collision course with our culture. Our culture says we have everything we need within ourselves. Now, as Christians, we do. In a sense, that's true, because we have Christ, His Holy Spirit. But from a sense that we can work it out within ourselves, all that is within us, and work out our own salvation and our own way in life, that's a lie. Society teaches us, and this is the big thing today, it's a big thing, that all our problems are caused by someone else. Someone else will offend me. I will be offended because someone out there, it's not my fault, it's their fault, they've offended me. That's what society and culture are teaching at the moment. That's the big thing now. If my feelings are hurt, I can just about take on Australia. Because my feelings are very, 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 very important. Now they are, but not that important. So society teaches us, and this is quoting from Keller, that all our main problems are from outside of us. This is a major issue because it means we have no hope in solving them. And then a summary on the other bit that I spoke. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. In the Old Testament, when God's special presence manifests itself, it shows up as fire, as I said earlier. Example with Moses and the Israelites. Whenever it shows up, it is overwhelming. I can testify to that. So when it shows up at Pentecost, every believer is now a burning bush. That's what I want for you and me. We want to be burning bushes.